Hello, everyone. Welcome to Loitering, the occasional but lovable traveling mini pod. I'm your host, Sonia Paul, and today we're loitering at Shiro's Cafe in Lucknow, the capital of the state of Uttar Pradesh in India, and it's right across from a famous park in the city called Ambedkar Park. And today I'm loitering with a good friend of mine.
Hi, my name is Vyomkesh, and I live in Lucknow.
Okay, Vyomkesh. Our topic for today is something that you were very eager to talk to me about when we reunited after 2 years. And it is your impressions of the U.S. on a recent visit post-U.S. election, post-Trump. Where did you go exactly?
So last week I was in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I spent like a couple of days there. And then I, you know, was there in the surrounding cities as well.
But before that, you were in New York, right?
Yes. Yes, that's true.
And it's the first time you've been to the South in the U.S.?
Yes, this was my first time, and that's why I was very excited as well.
So what was your impression of Knoxville? Like, what came out to you, especially given the rhetoric that's been surrounding, you know, Trump's America in the U.S. and being an Indian person, looking at that sort of rhetoric and thinking about immigration or the sort of American dream that people here have had historically?
Yeah, I think the first thing I could relate to is, you know, coming from a small town in India.
He's talking about Varanasi, by the way, which doesn't seem like a small town to the American mind, but in the Indian imagination, it's a small town.
Yes, and also because, you know, that was my first time in a largely conservative part of America, and Knoxville is a small town, you know, with a lot of conservative population. You know, you would find a church at every, you know, like square, which is very similar to my city. You know, you would find a temple at every square, and people being very conservative and religious, you know, very local in that sense. So I could immediately relate to what's going on in their, you know, in their minds and in their lives.
But like, what do you think is going on in their minds and their lives?
I mean, this tension which is there, this you know, this crisis, the wedge which is drawn between the, you know, the educated liberals on one hand, you know, the Democrats, you know, and the conservative white population, the white class living in, you know those areas. I think that tension was very visible to me.
Like, how was it visible to you? Like, did you see it in people's faces? What did it come across in conversations?
Well, because I went there from New York City, so I was in what I would call a liberal circle. People, the way they were like embarrassed about this recent elections, and they're talking about that whole election and this new president, and the fact that I went to this place, you know, immediately after that, and you know, the way people there kind of are reconciling with that fact.
So how are they reconciling? Are they like embarrassed as well? Are they celebrating? Are they sad at the fact that there is a wedge between different Americans?
Well, I would not say that they're celebrating, but at least, you know, they are now like sensing that, you know, there is a space for what they're thinking as well. And, you know, that was kind of, you know, coming out in my conversation. Their aspirations, their problems, their, you know, their thinking is real. And, you know, that's what was coming out. But they're still very warm, and, you know, it's not that, you know, they were like antagonistic to someone like me coming from outside. I think the warmth was there. But at the same time, I think it was clear that if I had gone there to steal their jobs or to stay there forever, I think they would be, you know, reacting in a different way as well.
Yeah, so what is the industry around Knoxville? What kind of area is it?
So I've seen like a lot of, you know, Knoxville and places like Knoxville are now becoming hubs of IT. And, you know, and that's why, you know, the new companies are kind of, you know, developing and are coming up. And a lot of IT people are also, you know, that's why, you know, coming to these cities as well.
So, like, were there a lot of Indian IT people that you came across there?
Correct. So, yes, I was visiting an Indian friend as well. So, yes, there is a community around, you know, those people coming from outside and, you know, now, like, living in those cities, in those smaller cities.
But, like, how are the Indians there reacting? Do they feel like there is tension? Do they feel like they're still part of this community? Or are they now rethinking? I mean, I'm sure you must have heard about this whole, like, Kansas incident in which two men working in IT were shot at and, you know, died. or one of them died, rather. So how do you think Indians and Indian Americans are reconciling with this?
I think that is very interesting, because I would say that Indian, you know, and Indians are people, you know, from South Asia who have been, you know, there, are certainly not shocked by it, and they could relate to it of what is happening in their own country as well.
They aren't shocked, or they are?
They are not shocked. They're not shocked because they could exactly understand what is happening here.
Here being here in India?
Here, yes. In so they could relate the incidences, which, you know, the thought process in Knoxville with something like which is happening in Lucknow, you know.
So can you tell us, like, what is happening in Lucknow?
So, you know, 2014, we have seen, you know, the right-wing party getting elected in a very similar fashion, in some sense. You know, a large, you know, population voted on issues around, you know, nationalist policies and so on and so forth.
So he's talking about India's 2014 election that elected its current Prime Minister, Narendra Modi.
Yes, and that's why, you know, the Indians who were there can understand that. Also because, you know, whenever these migrations or immigrations occur, Indians actually experience that, and you know, they may have experienced that coming from a small town to a bigger town here in India as well. So I don't think this, you know, this experience is new to them. But I've seen like a lot of Indians also kind of empathize with white class or the white Americans, you know, what they are feeling about it.
Really? So like, what are the who are the Indians who might empathize with white Americans?
So Indians who have stayed there, who have now become American citizens, green card, you know, holders, I think they empathize with that, because they, some of them would have become Republicans in some sense. And
are they Republican though?
Well, I can't say that, like, you know, 100%, but at least their thinking is pretty much like that. I think they are thinking in a very similar fashion.
Right. It's interesting because a lot of people do talk about this, that Indian Americans, given they're very highly educated, wealthy, and they tend to have conservative values, might lean toward the Republican Party, but actually Indian Americans are among the most democratic of all Asian Americans. So.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's something to kind of, you know, look for, but at least I know a lot of Indians who talk and behave and, you know, certainly hold those values which are considered quote-unquote Republican values. And that's why it's very, very relatable. Even to me, you know, coming from outside, coming from India, you know, everything which is happening in Knoxville, I could say that, you know, this crisis and this you know, this wedge is like pretty deep.
Sorry, I'm just curious, like, how is it in India post-Modi? You know, if we talk about America post-Trump, how is India post-Modi? Because if a similar thing happened where liberal elites in, like, major cities were shocked out of their minds that this prime minister was elected, but people in the heartland were, like, cheering and kind of saw it coming, wouldn't you say there is also a wedge among Indians in this country? Or is that sort of not the case?
I think that's right. I mean, that's, you know, the liberal elites living in cities are, you know, pretty much kind of, you know, on the sidelines these days in Modi's America.
I mean,
Modi's India, I would say. And you know, these, you know, for example, a lot of media people that I speak with, they say that, you know, they don't get any attention from the government at all. And which used to be the case. You know, they were used to get all kinds of attention. If there is something on the front page of a newspaper, immediately some of the minister or even the prime minister would call them to find out what is happening. Right now, they are saying that nobody even cares. So, yes, the liberal elite around, you know, Delhi, which used to rule this country, are feeling left out. And that's why, you know, the rhetoric between these two is going stronger and stronger.
Wait, the rhetoric between who?
Between the liberals and, you know, the right wing. And you see those tensions on social media all the time. You see those tensions in media, in the mainstream media all the time. But at least there is some debate happening, which is not happening in America, I would say.
You don't think a debate is happening in America? I mean, I'm asking too about, like, not just like liberals and the government, but I'm talking about like liberal Indians and maybe more nationalistic Indians. Are they able to actually see the other perspective and behave as if this is their same country?
I think so. I think liberal Indians and more conservative Indians are debating about it, are more freely kind of, you know, expressing their views around it. They're not embarrassed either ways, you know, to hold those thoughts. And sometimes, you know, their differences come out on streets as well.
But, like, you're not seeing Americans negotiate with each other so much as they're negotiating with people on their own side.
Yes, probably that's true. Because I'm here, so I see, you know, my folks more.
What do you mean, my folks?
Like, Indian folks more. Like, you know, the dialogue between, liberal Indians and conservative Indians. But that was my first feeling when I reached Knoxville from New York City. That, you know, these two worlds are probably, far apart. And they have probably, after this election, have gone further apart. And I don't know what is going on, you know, and what kind of dialogue is happening between the liberals and, liberals and, you know, conservative people around.
So what would you say to Americans, if coming from your perspective of having witnessed what happened in India, having this recent trip to the United States, like, how should they get over these hurdles that are clearly existing? I mean, you just ranted to me when you first saw me. It's like, America's going down, which, like, I think a lot of Americans would agree with. So what should be done?
Look, I think the one thing that I would say to basically come out of, and especially to liberal elites, educated elites, that there is more responsibility on you guys to, like, start a dialogue process with your counterparts, you know, and really, like, you know, start that conversation with them. Their issues are real as probably your issues, and you know, they have really exercised their choice on those issues. Let's not stay in that gloom of having someone become your president and be embarrassed about it. But I think the responsibility is to basically open conversation and talk to them, you know, understand their issues as well, and then try to at least, you know, manage this crisis which has currently, like, come up in the US.
Yeah, I mean, I think people definitely feel they want to do that. But the thing is, like, something happens every other day in the White House, and, you know, our president tweets and people are reacting to that. So it's a huge distraction from this other looming crisis of there being two Americas and Americans forgetting the fact that Americans they disagree with are still their fellow citizens.
Well, I think just understand that this is a distraction. Just don't involve yourself in what's coming out of the White House or what's coming out of those tweets every night. I think just focus on, like, you know, on the life more than that.
Do you think you've done the same here in Lucknow?
Yes, it is. Yes. I think a lot of people have now, like, focused on, you know, their daily lives, and they're less focused on, you know, who is in power currently, and they're talking more about their lives and, you know, what really matters. What are their, like, issues, real issues?
Just one more question, because we've talked way at length, but it's, like, an interesting conversation. This idea of normalization, you know, in the U.S., we were like, oh, this isn't normal. A lot of liberal Americans would say, you know, this isn't normal. We must not normalize this situation. But then after a while, like, in order to proceed with your life, to think about other things, you have to not react to it as something that requires 100% of your attention. So how would you talk about normalization as it exists here? Because a lot of Indians, especially, like, liberal elite Indians, would discuss the current government and, you know, the right-wing government in general as being nationalistic, as being anti-minority.
Look, once again, I think I would consider this line of thought as, again, very liberal and elite. I think people need to come out of this kind of conversation. That, you know, I think the normalization to me means finding out solution to the bigger issues which exist in both the countries, you know, and these issues are very similar. So I think finding solutions, creative solutions, is the process of normalization to me.
Great. Thank you so much, Vyomkesh. All right. That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to Loitering, the occasional but lovable traveling mini pod. We're at Shiro's Cafe in Lucknow. Actually, like, FYI, it's a really interesting cafe. It's owned and operated by acid attack survivors. So thanks for listening and have a great day. Goodbye.